Everybody, it's Tuesday night once again. It's 7 p.m. on the left coast, which means it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson welcoming you to an hour of sweet conservative inspiration. You can interact with comments and questions on Twitter during the show. You can follow me, please, at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J. Now, my guest tonight is Timothy Shea. He's no stranger to all my listeners. Timothy Shea has been active in GOP politics behind enemy lines in the Northeast for over 40 years. He's in the Northeast. I'm in the Northwest. We're kind of both in the same predicament and fighting hard. He's served as a town meeting member, town GOP committee member, state convention delegate, the former host of Radio Red Nation Rising. He is a political commentator and essayist. Timothy Shea, my friend, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tammy. Great to be back on with you. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight.
There's so much going on. There's always so much going on in the era of Trump and the leftist madness. They have been stroking out and having their Trump derangement syndrome since the day he got elected. You know what I did today just for a little bit of fun, because I needed a laugh, is I watched some of the videos that were made after election night that are compilation
videos. Oh, isn't that a great compilation? Yes.
Yes. of all, everyone on the left, you know, cussing and swearing and crying and starting out that Hillary's going to win, Hillary's a shoo-in, and all of the Dems saying Donald Trump will not be president. George Clooney looking all handsome and actorish, saying Donald Trump will never be president. Bernie looking all messed up and angry, Donald Trump will never be president.
And Nancy, your Nancy, good friend Nancy.
Yes,
bank it. Bank
yes,
it.
Yes, everybody said he will not be president. Well, and then when he became president, they all started crying and needing coloring books and safe spaces and all that good stuff. And it's just fun to watch those compilations sometimes and just look back on what was a wonderful night.
It really was. And, you know, it was just wonderful to look back on Rachel Maddow. Donald Trump is going to be the next president of the United States. That's right. You didn't hit Comedy Channel by mistake. This is real.
You're not a nightmare. You haven't died and gone to hell. This is real. And oh my goodness. So just tell me again, you know, what arm of the DMC do you guys work for?
Well, as we are seeing, they have literally been paid by the DNC to carry water for the Democrats.
Okay, oh,
they
absolutely
are the shill media is a wholly owned subsidiary propaganda arm of the Democrat National Committee.
Oh, absolutely.
It's that's what the emails last week proved.
Yep. We're going to be talking about the memo in the next section a little bit. We might get to it at the end of this section. We wanted to start with something lighter but ridiculous, and that is the portraits of
the
former president and former first lady. And you and I had the same idea about those portraits. You've been hammering them like crazy. If you're keeping up, Michelle Obama had her portrait painted by Amy Sherald. Husband and former president Barack Obama had his painted by, I don't know how you pronounce his first name. Do you? Kahind? Wiley? Something like that.
I think it's Kahindi.
Kahindi?
Wiley.
Yeah, there's
Kahindi,
a D in there.
Kahindi Wiley. Yeah, Kahindi Wiley.
Okay, there we go. They're both black artists. That's great. But the paintings are not great.
No, in fact, he uses unpaid Chinese labor to do his paintings. They use stencils. If you look, there's a Reddit photo that I've posted that shows that the areas of the background, that leafy background that were stenciled, the same leaf patterns occur five or six times there's like three or four leaf patterns that occur five or six times each.
Oh my word. So he's got a stencil. I picture a guy calling himself an artist that's got a little rubber stamp.
Yeah, Tammy, we paid $500,000 each for these, okay?
So where does the money come from when we have these paid?
It comes from the Treasury. The government buys them. They're on permanent exhibition at the National Portrait Gallery. You and I are both longtime fans of and patrons of the arts.
Yes. Okay,
I have been getting so much hate on Twitter from all of these pseudo-intellectuals, racist blacks, that say I don't know anything about art, and referencing what the painting is referencing, et cetera. Well, here's my real problem. First of all, it's not the least bit presidential. It demeans the office.
Yes.
Whether you like the painting on its merits or not, if you look at it in context with all of the other paintings, quite frankly, most of which aren't very good. The Ronald Reagan is great. The Kennedy is the best, where he's got his arms crossed and he's looking down, kind of pensive. That's my favorite of all time.
Right.
Teddy Roosevelt is stiff at a banister holding onto the railing, and most of them are stiff. George Bush is holding some papers in the Oval Office. Clinton is slouched up against the fireplace in the Oval Office, looking like an idiot. Ronald Reagan's is nice. He's sitting on a porch railing and just kind of looking very natural and comfortable. So some are good, some aren't so good, but they're all presidential.
Yes.
There's nothing the least bit presidential. I have two main complaints with the Obama portrait. First, one of the things Kehinde Wiley is known for is putting sperm cells in his paintings. And if you look at Barack Obama's left temple, there's a sperm cell.
If you look
at his face on the right-hand side, so his left temple on your right as you're looking at it, there's a sperm cell. The second problem I have is, why would you choose an artist whose previous most famous works were a series that he entitled Judith and Holofernes? Now, if your audience doesn't know, Judith was a Jewish widow. Holofernes was an Assyrian general. The Assyrians were besieging her town and were going to attack it. She dressed up in all of her finery and came out with one of her servants with food, because she only ate the food that her servant brought because she didn't want to be poisoned. And she sweet-talked Holofernes into believing that the siege had caused such privation in the city that the Jews had turned against God, and that she was actually sent by God to help the Assyrians invade the city. So he bought that lie, and over the course of several nights, she sweet-talked him, etc. The last night, there was a big banquet. He drank his face off, and everyone else left, and he's there in a drunken stupor. She beheaded him. She left with the head and went back and showed all the Jews in the town, and they attacked the Assyrians and won. So it was just another instance, like David and Goliath, where the outnumbered Jews that were certain to face defeat, God came through for them and saved them. It's a great story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's the female equivalent of the David and Goliath story. The problem is, his series of paintings entitled Judith and Holofernes, the Judith character is a black woman holding a knife and holding the head of a decapitated white woman.
Yes.
So what you and I both know how to interpret visual language, and the hate I've gotten, oh, he's referencing Caravaggio and Gentileschi and blah, blah, blah. You don't know anything. It's like, oh, I don't know anything. I am one of the sponsors of the only U.S. exhibition of the lost Caravaggio that was found in Dublin, and we brought it here. And the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York wanted it. The Museum of Fine Arts in Boston wanted it. Museums in San Francisco and Chicago wanted it. It came to our Boston College Museum. It was the only exhibition in the entire country. If you wanted to see it, you had to come to our museum. And I was one of the sponsors that helped bring it there. So don't tell me I don't know about Caravaggio, okay? The problem is, when you know how to interpret visual language, when you have one historical character that represents pure good and another historical character representing pure evil, and they make the good character white and the evil character black in a series of paintings doing this. It's not like she mixed it up, or he mixed it up, right? Every single painting, Judith is black and Holofernes is white. He's clearly saying that white people are evil. And that's why would you have a racist artist memorialized in the National Portrait Gallery? That's a real problem.
And lest anyone think that the Obamas don't know this, they did their research into these artists.
They selected them.
They selected them. They brag all the time about their intellect. They knew what they were doing. And the painting, my favorite quote, though, about Obama's painting, which people have to see it. If you haven't seen it, it doesn't look like it belongs where it now is. It really doesn't. It looks like it could be in Mad Magazine.
No, look at a composite of all of the recent presidential portraits. That's what I'm saying, is it's clearly not presidential.
Which one of these things is not like the other? Which
exactly.
One of these things does not belong? Sesame Street penned it. One of my favorite meme quotes about it, there's a great picture. You've seen it. You probably have it on your Facebook page. I think you do. But it's got Obama in his chair in front of the ivy-covered wall, the stenciled wall, and then next to it, it's got Homer Simpson in front
yes.
of some leafy wall, and it says, "Can't believe the Simpsons predicted Obama's official portrait back in 1994. And I don't understand anyway, him on a chair surrounded by leaves, ivy leaves, the whole wall of
ivy. People have been laughing, saying, even if you say he's supposed to be in front of the wall at Wrigley, because Wrigley has the famous ivy growing on the brick outfield wall.
Right.
He's supposed to be a White Sox fan. So why would they put him at Wrigley?
Yeah,
so none of it makes sense.
And the Michelle portrait is odd.
The Michelle Obama portrait is what you get when you select an artist who is, and I quote, known for her social justice style of painting.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know there was a social justice style of painting, but apparently this is it, and apparently it's hideous.
It's bad, and it also doesn't look like Michelle. Michelle to you?
No, the palette is horrid, okay? The palette is very drab and dreary. Let me put it this way. My quip on Twitter, and by the way, folks can follow me at TimboTim62.
Yes,
on Twitter.
I didn't mention it sooner.
That painting looks as much like Michelle Obama as Malia and Sasha look like Michelle Obama. And I'm just going to leave that right there.
We'll leave that right there. But people really have to look at this. You know, I woke up the other morning and was going about doing my stuff, and I had Fox News on the TV, as I usually do, because I'm writing, I'm editing, I'm doing all kinds of stuff. But I always want to hear when the briefing comes on, the White House briefing. I want to keep it, you know, I'm always half tuned into the news to see what's breaking, what's going on. And all of a sudden, I hear Michelle Obama speaking, and I think, what? What are they doing? This is not the show that's supposed to be on now. I go in there, and she's talking about her portrait and how we chose these people and how difficult it must have been, and they had to come to the White House to be interviewed. I'm sorry for that. I'm so, so sorry for that. She kept apologizing that both painters had to come to the White House to be interviewed. Are you kidding me? If someone was going to pay me $500,000 to do what I love to do, I would say, you bet, I will be there. What time? I will be there early and ready to be interviewed. I would be excited. And yet she's apologizing.
Don't forget, anything, yes, the Obamas have to apologize for anything that's good about America. So please.
That's true.
We need to keep informed.
Yes, and didn't she call the White House something akin to a prison at one point in time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, funny how your mother's been living at that prison for free for 8 years.
I know. And she recognized her mom as she was talking about the painting. She called her mommy. That's fine if she wants to call her mommy. But mommy was on the public dime for 8 years. So, yeah, there you go.
Hey, she had 11-year-old Malia and 13-year-old Sasha, whatever the ages they were. She had them listed as senior White House aides so that they could travel for free.
Okay. Yep. And, you know, thus we have the Democratic Party in all its glory. Get the free stuff while you can. I'll be back with my guest, Timothy Shea. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robar Guns. I tell you every week, they're a true custom firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. You can find them online at robarguns.com. They can give your worn firearm new life, and they have custom firearms for those of you that want an incredible piece in your collection. They have some great custom packages, and I don't think I've ever talked about this, but one of them is the Tricon Pro Carry. So you're asking, what is that? Well, the Tricon Pro Carry is the result of collaboration with former Navy SEAL Jeff Gonzalez, owner of Trident Concepts. That's a reality-based company specializing in personal protection tactics and training for armed and unarmed conflicts. So the Tricon Pro Carry is built on your Gen 3 Glock 19 or 23 to Jeff's standards. Those are high Navy SEAL standards. Take a look at the website at the beautiful Tricon Pro Carry build. It's fantastic. Check out the Tricon Pro Carry at robarguns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
The 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000 or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
I keep my hands on myself. This is Tammy Jackson with my guest, Timothy Shea. If you're just joining the show, Timothy Shea has been active in GOP politics, deep behind enemy lines in the Northeast for over 40 years. We just got done talking about those fabulous pieces of art, not the Obama's portraits. Never mind. If you look them up, you'll know what we're talking about. Timothy, I want to talk about the Nunes memo and the Schiff memo. Andrew McCarthy writes at National Review, the Schiff memo, principally authored by Democratic staff on the House Intelligence Committee under the direction of ranking member Adam Schiff, Dem, California, is the response to the Nunes memo, which was composed by the committee's Republican staff under the direction of Chairman Devin Nunes, Republican, California. Substantively, the Schiff memo is unlikely to do the Democrats much good, since the Nunes memo's principal allegations have been corroborated, namely, the Obama administration, A, used the unverified Steele dossier to get a FISA warrant on former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page, and B, did not tell the FISA court that the dossier was a Clinton campaign product. So here we are. The Republicans didn't want the Nunes memo coming out, Timothy, and screamed bloody murder, but they really, really want the Schiff memo to come out.
Absolutely. Tammy, this entire situation is the gravest crisis in American history. This is so far beyond politics, it is truly chilling. And the fact that the Democrats are only playing politics with this and have shown themselves to not care the least bit about the law. They thumb their noses at the rule of law. They ridicule people who want the rule of law upheld. Howard Baker was a Republican senator from Tennessee during the Watergate hearings, and he is the one who asked the critical question, what did the president know and when did he know it? A Republican asking that about Richard Nixon. Howard Baker got up in the well of the Senate and gave one of the most powerful speeches of the day. And he said, I would have hoped that my president would have not participated in a cover-up. I would have hoped, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, but my president did not do that. Here is a Republican calling out a Republican president. Where are the Democrats with integrity calling out the criminal abuses of power, the shredding of the Constitution by Barack Obama and all of his criminal administration? This is so much bigger than Watergate, both in its breadth and also its depth. This goes to the heart of who we are as a country. This is the head of the DOJ. This is the senior management at DOJ. It's senior management of FBI. It's senior management at IRS. It's senior management at SEC. It's the entire White House staff. It's the entire State Department senior leadership. This is the most unbelievable abuse of power in history, and the Democrats are trying to shuffle it off. Oh, the Republicans are just playing politics. Another right-wing conspiracy. Well, guess what? There was a real conspiracy, and it wasn't from the right wing. It was the left wing that weaponized the apparatus of government against the American public. And where are the civil libertarians? I was hoping Joe Manchin he had the impulse at the State of the Union address to stand and applaud the president for one of his lines in this film of him starting to get to his feet and clapping and then quickly looking around and sitting down because he forgot that he wasn't supposed to stand and clap for the president. That is pathetic.
That is really pathetic. Here's some more good stuff. I'm not always over at National Review because to me they're kind of old guard and a lot of never Trumpers over there. I didn't appreciate that, but there are some good things here and there, and so I always check things out. McCarthy continues in his article. The Schiff memo is a diversion. It will posit that Steele was an impeccable source, Carter Page is a sinister Russian operative, and Chairman Nunes is an awful person. Aware that they are firing blanks, committee Democrats evidently threaded the Schiff memo with some highly classified information. In essence, they are willing to play high-stakes poker with intelligence secrets, including sources and methods for gathering national defense information, in order to induce Republicans to demand the memo be suppressed. Then, of course, they bank on the Democrat-friendly media to shift the narrative from the vapidity of the Schiff memo's contentions to the suggestions that Republicans might have something to hide. So then they'll pull the censorship card, right, Timothy?
Absolutely. It's a setup. We called it before it even happened. As soon as Schiff said, I want to write a memo, everybody said, oh, he's going to load it up with confidential information. And when it gets redacted, he's going to scream censorship.
Yes.
So these people are so stupid and they're so transparent and they're so predictable. We know what they're going to do before they do it because they're still playing from the same playbook.
Absolutely. Timothy, what people must never, ever, ever forget is that to the left, a.k.a. the progressives or the socialists, politics is their religion. Winning and power are everything, and the ends always justify the means. And like you referred to just a little bit ago, this whole ugly business of the FISA warrant exposes corruption that makes Watergate look like child's play. I want people to remember that Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi, they warned that if the Nunes memo was released, intel sources and methods would be disclosed. It would be the end of the world. But nothing was redacted. No sources or methods were revealed. But what we did find out was there was a whole lot of guilt, and it was right inside the Obama administration with the Department of Justice, the FBI, etc. And, of course, with Hillary Clinton, her campaign, and the DNC as a whole. And we found out that Adam Schiff is a big, fat liar.
Oh, absolutely. And he's been in an absolute panic because Adam and Hillary have problems that go well beyond the FISA abuse and well beyond Hillary's multiple felonies with regard to national security. They're both connected to Ed Buck, who is a big Democrat fundraiser in California. And there was a black homosexual escort that died at Ed Buck's house under questionable circumstances. And there's allegations that Adam Schiff was involved in that somehow. That helicopter crash that just happened in Newport Beach wasn't an accident. They were employees of the Standard Hotel. If you go to the Standard West Hollywood, if you Google the Standard West Hollywood, you'll see the hotel. The website is replete with satanic imagery, pedophilia imagery. You know, just the name of the hotel is upside down on the website. Okay? All the text is upside down. You have to mouse over it to have it come right side up. You know, that's the whole satanic as above, as below.
Right.
It's a really... What's going on in this country and worldwide with the Rothschilds, and it's really bad. And people need to prepare themselves for this being much more than a political scandal. And when it all comes out, it's going to shock people to their core. And yet they will never know more than 40% of the truth, because it's been said that if people knew the whole truth, that 99% would end up in the hospital with mental breakdowns.
Wow.
And it would just shock the reality so much. And it would also cause a world war, because if foreign countries saw how this government was behaving over the 8 years of the Obama period, and even before, they would go to war with us. So
wow.
This is serious. This is big. This isn't tinfoil hat stuff. I know the deeper we drill down on this, the more unreal it gets, but it's an unreal situation. So buckle
up. The more corruption we get. You had one good quote I wanted to say before we went to the break. Speaking of Adam Schiff, you said in one of your videos, Adam Schiff is the moral equivalent of the man who kills his parents and then begs the judge for mercy because he's an orphan. I like that a lot.
That's the guy.
That's the guy. Hey, you're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with pundit Timothy Shea. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Rent-A-Computer. Rent-A-Computer delivers the rental hardware your event needs to your office, trade show booth, or event venue location anywhere in the United States or Canada. Their offerings include Apple iPads, iPhones, Microsoft Surface tablets, and copiers. If you're planning your next corporate event, remember, Rent-A-Computer provides a superior turnkey event rental service with one point of contact for clients both large and small. Visit rentacomputer.com or call them at 800-736-8772. That's rentacomputer.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Military life is rewarding, but it isn't always easy.
Managing the stress can affect even the strongest warrior.
But I can, I will stay mission ready.
I can, I will
keep my mind and body fit.
Talk to my chaplain.
Seek care early.
Strive for progress, not perfection.
I got this.
I got this.
Take the first step.
There's no better time than now.
Reaching out is a sign of strength. Visit realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through the show and joined by my guest, Timothy Shea. Many of you know him. He's a frequent guest on the show. I love to have him on. And if you're just joining the show, Timothy Shea is former host of Radio Red Nation Rising. He's a political commentator, and he's a good friend. He's always fun to have on because he's up on the latest, and I know that if I ask him to be on, he can give us some good stuff that you may not hear other places, because he's absolutely keeping an eye on the news, on a lot of the stuff that he's out in the weeds searching this stuff out, and I love how you bring it all together, Timothy.
Well, thanks, Tammy. I'm 55, and I've been paying attention.
Yeah, you say that a lot, and it's absolutely true. I'm kind of the same way, too. People say, well, you know a lot. I said, well, I've been around a lot, and I actually kind of remember the stuff I've learned, and I have been paying attention. So there you go. We're kind of two peas in a pod.
Absolutely. And the thing is, most people aren't, though. And here is why people say, how did we get to where we are now? The reason is because most Americans don't live and breathe politics. Most Americans are worried about taking care of their families, living their life. They're keeping their head down. They're working hard. They're paying their taxes. They're being good civic citizens.
Right.
And they take for granted that the government has our best interests at heart. And that used to be true. And during the Obama regime, it was not true. The government was actually weaponized against the American public. So I'm waiting for the ACLU to be outraged over the abuses of the Fourth Amendment.
Yes.
The Obama regime absolutely shredded the Fourth Amendment.
Well, what we have to understand, too, it's exactly what Marx and Engels advocated for, which was creating chaos. And out of the chaos, you would have to have a state that was heavy-handed that would come in and institute a new reality. And the new reality they want is a socialist or Marxist or what have you. They've got a lot of things they want on their agenda, none of which are contained within our Judeo-Christian worldview that this country was founded on, that our founding documents are infused with. It's a completely different worldview and ideology, and that's what they want to do with this nation. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone, Timothy, around the world apologizing for all things America.
Absolutely.
It's pretty shameful. Hey, tell us about Q. What and who is Q? What's going on? People want to know this stuff.
Well, I started to allude to what we're going to talk about at the end of the last segment. Q is one or more people. We don't know who Q is, and Q stands for Q clearance, which is the civilian equivalent of the Department of Defense SCI, TS/SCI, the top secret / secure compartmentalized information clearance, which allows you to view the most sensitive documents that the country has. Q clearance is the civilian equivalent. So if you work for Department of State or the Department of Energy, you'd have Q clearance. So that's where Q comes from. It's not a James Bond reference.
I know. That's what I thought of first.
Although Q does use double entendres because it helps keep people off the track. It helps keep the black hats off the track.
Right.
And we don't know whether Q could be more than one person. Like Publius was John Jay and James Madison and Alexander Hamilton. So there's different styles to different Q posts, so we're thinking maybe it's more than one person. But at least one person writing under Q is a senior White House staffer with a military intelligence background. He coordinates communications with the president. They have a time code mechanism that refers to back to posts that occurred in October or November. So he is definitely in coordination with the president. He has said that we have been given more high-level intelligence than the American public has ever been given. And he wants us to use it and to learn and to disseminate what we learn to regular Americans that are busy going about living their daily lives, because we're trying to prepare people for what's coming. Okay, all of this with the memo and exposing the FISA abuse, if you look back over the last year, you'll realize that what has been happening is the onion is getting peeled back layer after layer. If the onion had been cut in half, and on January 20th, as I advocated, all Obama appointees had been fired and arrests would start, then they would have screamed totalitarian dictator, et cetera. So what's gone on is we've been peeling back the onion layer by layer. The government has been laying out the case of all the abuses. Here's what's actually gone on. You want a Russia collusion investigation? Great. Let's look at this. All the Russia collusion was done by Hillary and the DNC in coordination with the Obama White House. We've got the evidence. We've got the emails. We've got the texts. Here it all is. Okay. We're trying to wake people up. We're trying to red pill people, using a Matrix analogy, because people have to start caring. People have to start caring that we are one nation under law. People have to start caring that the maxim that's engraved in the frieze over the door of the Supreme Court, which is equal justice under law, isn't just a saying on a building in Washington, but it's a foundational principle of this country, equal justice under law. No one is above the law in this country. That's the ultimate lesson from Watergate. People need to be prepared that a lot of people are going to be going to jail for some very serious crimes. And it is not political retribution. There's nothing political about it. It's not vengeance. It's adhering to the rule of law. It's getting us back. We were so far away from a nation of laws. When you had the director of the FBI covering up for a former Secretary of State for violating national security, that is not a country that we want to be living in.
Absolutely not. And let me mention here, when you refer to Watergate, I think you're one of the few people that, like myself, watched those hearings.
I used to run home from school off the bus every day to watch Sam Irvin.
I loved them, and they went on for the summer. And that summer, I was actually babysitting two young kids across the street, and one of them was a little bit older and played in the backyard most of the day. The other one was a child that was a hydrocephalic child, so I had to be with him indoors playing with him and so forth. And I asked his mom, do you mind if I watch the Watergate hearings while I'm sitting on the floor playing with him? And she said, absolutely not. It won't affect him, and if he hears anything, maybe he'll become a lawyer someday. And she just laughed. But I did that. Literally every day, I was listening to those all day long. I loved it.
It was fascinating. It was a great civics education. You know, they no longer teach civics in our school for a reason. We talk
because people
about
might Alinsky's, understand.
Well, exactly. And we talk about Alinsky's rules for radicals. You were just talking about the whole Marxist-Leninist strategy of undermining, you know, that's where it all comes from. All of Alinsky's rules come directly from Marx and Lenin. First, they attack religion. Then they attack every social institution. They want to degrade our culture with pornography and with drugs. Yep. And they've
Take
tried
down
to ruin
the family.
Us. You destroy the family. And what's most upsetting, and I don't know how Democrats can't see this and be outraged by it, they've absolutely destroyed the black middle class in America.
Oh,
they have attacked it with abortion. They have attacked it with BET television and all that garbage. They have attacked it with drugs. And this is intentional. This is racist destroying of America. And Democrat Pat Moynihan, who was my senator, who I was proud to vote for, even though he was a Democrat, was called a racist in 1966 when he said that this welfare program, the Great Society, will lead to the destruction of the black family. He was called a racist for that.
Yes, it was the great wreckage of the family. I've talked to Alan Keyes about this, the fact that even though there was racism in the 50s, the black family was intact. But then LBJ, and we all know what he did. You know this, Timothy. His
and we know
quote,
what he said. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
About we'll have these you-know-whats voting Democrat for 200 years if we give them this. And it destroyed the family. They incentivized girls to have babies out of wedlock and then to abort those babies. That was a Margaret Sanger dream. She wanted selective breeding. She wanted to get rid of inferior races. Let me tell you, she was the Nazi inspiration, and she was a heroine to Hillary Clinton, who won her award. Timothy, the more we get to know these people, the more despicable they are.
Well, and it's even more ghoulish than that, because as we've seen, thanks to all the great work being done undercover, that Planned Parenthood is actually selling those aborted baby parts.
Oh.
For profit, which is against the law. And again, when is Planned Parenthood going to be called to task for that?
Yeah, and there are some ongoing suits, because I know some lawyers. I know the lawyers that are representing the gal who was, there was David, and then there was this gal, and they were the team that did a lot of the undercover filming. And they each have, I think, David, I forget what team he's with, but I know the team that is with the gal. What is going on? There's a lot of lawsuits in Texas and in California that involve Planned Parenthood. And so there are some things still going on. We're just not hearing about it all. But that organization, I would love to see them shuttered, Timothy.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's an outrage that they're getting federal funding.
$500 million a year?
Yeah, it's an outrage.
Babies. To painfully murder babies and to sell those body parts, it's horrible. As we were talking before the show, you can't touch an endangered egg from some bird or a baby seal or anything else, but by golly, you can butcher up those baby humans that are preborn in the womb, supposed to be the safest place for that child, but no, you can kill them there.
Well, and I had a nurse friend of mine who is a Democrat. I didn't mention it. She came out and she said, I would have no problem with abortion being illegal after 15 weeks. That's when they can feel pain. In the very next day, Chuck Schumer was high-fiving on the Senate floor because they had defeated a law to make abortion illegal after 20 weeks. So here, this Democrat friend of mine said she'd have absolutely no problem making it illegal after 15 weeks, and he's high-fiving because they're not going to make it illegal after 20 weeks. It's despicable. And
it's
what's
evil.
Even worse is 85% of Planned Parenthood facilities, including the big one you have right there in Portland, are in minority neighborhoods or within walking distance or public transportation from minority neighborhoods. This is racism, pure and simple. And where are the Democrats standing up for it?
Yeah, they're not standing up for it. And they're all for women, unless it's the baby girls in the womb, unless it's the women who are depressed to the point of suicide after having an abortion when they've been lied to and told it was nothing but a clump of cells. Wrong. That was a human being. And there is an absolute wave of suicide in this nation that's in post-abortive women. We have wrecked a generation and we have lost a generation. Shame on us.
And the worst part is the people that are applauding Planned Parenthood and standing for abortion rights are the same people that think that you're morally inferior if you don't rescue a dog from the pound.
Absolutely. They've got everything upside down. Talking about an upside down worldview. That's what we've got going on. Hey, Timothy, thank you so much for agreeing to be on. I always love having you on the show. We always have lively conversation, and I love the knowledge that you bring to this show.
Thanks, Tammy. I love coming on. I look forward to talking to you again.
You betcha. Take care, my friend. The Tammy Jackson Show will be back after the break to wrap up the hour. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Dispatch's website. It's found at johnbiver.com, J-O-H-N-B-I-V as in Victor, E-R.com. Dispatch's is an absolute treasure trove of resources to inform and equip conservatives to fight and win the information war. That's Dispatch's at johnbiver.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out. Wrestling Mayhem Show right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
Nothing behind. There's a desert in my blood and a storm in your eyes. Am I the king of nothing at all?
Welcome back for the final segment of the Tammy Jackson Show here on the 405. If you missed it, for the first three segments, I had my friend, pundit Timothy Shea on. The podcast will be up about 20 minutes or less after the show wraps at the top of the hour, but don't leave. I've got a little something I want to get off my chest. I am fit to be tied about this whole thing with DACA and Dreamers. We all know DACA, it stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Now, the latest immigration bill that Trump will support would allow 1.8 million, quote, Dreamers, end quote, to stay and pursue a path to citizenship. 1.8 million. I think there are about 690,000 that should have been named, but for some reason now it's bumped up to 1.8 million. Now, I know he also, he wants the law, he wants to end chain immigration and the visa lottery, both of which are admirable. We need to do that. We need to enforce our borders. You're not a country if you don't have enforceable borders. But the thing that really bugs me, I am absolutely opposed to calling these people dreamers. To me, that romanticizes what they really are. They are unlawful, illegal immigrants, period. Now, I feel bad. All of us feel bad that they were brought here by their law-breaking parents. Did you hear that? They were law-breaking parents. But ever heard the adage that two wrongs don't make a right? It's absolutely true. They might have been brought here by their law-breaking parents, but we don't fix that by breaking the law continually and allowing them to remain here without a legal process. No matter what you say and how much empathy you whip up, the simple fact remains that these people are here in our country illegally. They are trespassing. They absolutely are. If they entered your home without asking, sat down on your couch, started watching your TV, you'd be calling the police. You'd be saying, who are you? Why are you in our home? And then if they said, well, it's not safe where we live. We don't have money where we live. There isn't a way to make any money. And we don't have health care and schools where we live. So we thought we'd come here because you have a safe home and you have a school next door. And this is a good place to be. We think we'll just stay here. Nobody would allow that. But yet we allow it here in the United States of America. Now, if, and that's a big if they really want to be Americans, and by Americans, I don't mean running the con to get all the free stuff, all the free health care possible. If they really want to be Americans, they should go home, begin the process that millions before them have undergone. They should come here legally. They should be productive. They should not take free stuff. They should learn English. They should eagerly assimilate into America's culture. That means no demanding that we celebrate Cinco de Mayo, which is pretty much a fake holiday anyway, because it's not even celebrated or very little celebrated in Mexico. I don't know if you know that. Friends of mine that are of Mexican extraction laugh at Cinco de Mayo. They say only in America is that celebrated. Now, I talk a lot about being the granddaughter of legal Norwegian immigrants. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of my Norwegian heritage. I don't begrudge anyone being proud of their heritage. That makes us a fantastic nation, especially if we say we're Americans first. Now, my grandpa, Ole, he came from Norway by himself at age 15. Let me repeat that. My grandpa, Ole, came from Norway by himself at age 15. Yeah, he was a dreamer. He dreamed of making a life for himself. And how he did it was he saved up a little bit of money. He came over here and he stayed with an aunt that was here in the Midwest because you had to have somebody here that would sponsor you. You had to be able to have education, a job, or something when you got here. He had this aunt he could stay with. He attended a one-room schoolhouse. He was finished. He had completed his schooling in Norway. He had gone through what is the equivalent of the eighth grade here, but it matches up to a full high school education and even junior college education in the States nowadays. But he stayed with his aunt. He attended a one-room schoolhouse so he could learn English and all the other subjects that were necessary to take the test to be a naturalized citizen. That was his goal. That's what he wanted to do. How tough was it for him? He worked like crazy. He went to this little one-room schoolhouse where he was the biggest kid in the room. And my grandpa, Ole, wouldn't see any of his family in Norway for 40 years. He made that sacrifice. He was willing to make that sacrifice to be an American. Now, I learned a work ethic from my grandparents who worked hard 6 days a week. They always took one day off for church. That was the old-fashioned work ethic. They worked hard. They played hard. They were wonderful, law-abiding people. I know some Norwegian now, by the way, not because Grandma and Grandpa spoke Norwegian in the house, although some of the older relatives, when they got together, once in a while would speak in Norwegian. Mostly, they only spoke Norwegian. I had to beg my grandpa to speak Norwegian with me and teach me more. I would probably be more fluent if he hadn't always reminded me that we were Americans and should speak English. And the way he said it, which people will laugh, he would pat me on the head and say, "Tammy girl, we're Americans. We speak English here." So if you listened to him for very long, you'd wonder if you could discern if he was speaking English or Norwegian, but he insisted on English. I have other friends with fantastic immigration stories, stories of hardships endured so that they could be Americans. I won't tell the whole story, but I have the friends, the Kellers, who were from New Zealand. The dad had been rescued from a concentration camp during World War II as a young boy by Americans. He always wanted to come to America. He brought his family to America, but it was a tough go. It took him 2 years and a lot of hardships to be able to get into this country. They were so grateful that all four sons grew up to join the military, two Marines, two in the Navy. This is the kind of stories I have to tell about people coming here lawfully. Now, illegal entrance into this country is the antithesis of a constitutional republic that's a nation of law. My grandpa had a dream that his children and grandchildren would be good, hardworking Americans. So calling DACA folks dreamers, that cheapens the sacrifices made by millions of legal immigrants to this great nation. Now, I have a dream that someday I won't ever have to push one for English in my own country. And I have a dream that Americans' kids won't be punished for wearing T-shirts with American flags or the Second Amendment. That's the kind of dreams I have. I hope you join me in supporting that dream. Hey, thanks for listening. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 will be back next week. I will have more great guests, but until then, this is Tammy Jackson, and I'm reminding you to wake up and to not be silent. Let your voice be heard, because we have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth. And I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do. And the choir sang. I tried to be a good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. That a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't keep me quiet. I will break the noise. Try to beat me down. Shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time is now. The squeaky wheel is always getting grease. Well, I've been sitting still, parked here on the side. Shut my
Shut up!